What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm Jeremy Versillo, and joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Shams Benoar. Shams, how are you doing on this Thursday evening?
Doing okay, just kind of crossing my fingers that like a couple lead days, but as you know, Thursday and Saturday, until those days are done, nothing is really in set, so we'll just keep the fingers crossed.
Yeah, my cup of week is kind of over before it began. One of my D1 opponents, Jordan, put up 75 points on me Monday and has kind of been running away with it, including a great Oliver Ekman-Larsson ad yesterday, spending 62 fab. We'll get to that a bit later when we talk about OEL. Just holding that last move, seeing if I can make it close Sunday or if it's time to think about next week. With that, let's just get straight into the headlines. Anybody want to talk about the leading scorer in the NHL right now? Believe it or not, it is not Jack Eichel and Mark Stone, who I think have combined for another point tonight. It is Evgeny Malkin, looking like a scoring leader, MVP quality player to start the season. How sustainable is this? Are you trading for Malkin? Are you trading away Malkin? What are your thoughts here?
I don't know. I think I just personally might have like a bias just like unconsciously against him of just like second line, quote unquote, older guy, but like you can't go against his points. I think the way it goes is that maybe if there's a person that's a little bit more forgiving to the older players or knows of him in his past, might be a little bit more open. But if I've drafted him, I probably took him late. At this point, I am just kind of laughing to the bank and then just taking as many as I can get. Because honestly, their forward group is not that great overall. So hopefully maybe it's just going to be a situation where he has to put the team in this back and the team's not as unlucky with the power play as they were last year. And this might be something that continues on.
True. I hadn't thought about the power play luck. I did a quick scan and his 11 points in five games is obviously a small sample size to begin with. His 5-on-5 shooting percentage is high. It's at 12.5% when he's been down at 8-9% the past few years. His IPP is currently 100%. He has had a goal or an assist for every goal scored while he was on the ice. I believe that's 5v5. I think his power play IPP is not 100%. Again, that number is going to be 70-75 for a player of Malkin's caliber. So a little bit high, not insane. I think the way I am with Malkin in all of the zero leagues that I own him in, if I could trade him for a point per game player, I probably would. Anything less than that, I think it's more personal preference. Like, do I think Malkin could be a point per game player this year? Yes, but just about any other guy is probably a bit safer, both from an injury perspective and an age perspective. I threw a couple names on the list. Curious where you'd rank Malkin among these. Would you trade Malkin for Timo Meier, Elias Pettersson, or Zach Hyman? Trying to pick a couple slow starters.
For me, it's say if I was the Pettersson manager, that one would be kind of like interesting of just like the way I feel like with Edmonton, I feel like they're going to be a team that I'm a little bit more trustworthy that's going to turn it around. So I would be happy to be getting Hyman back. Pettersson, depends on how you feel about Vancouver as a whole. If you think they're going to regress, that one's kind of a sketchy depending on which side you want to be on. But as a top line, top power play guy, that one I would be kind of tempted to take, yes. And then Meier, I feel like, honestly, as I kind of said, it might be that unconscious bias that I would probably take all of these as the Malkin manager. But honestly, I would think as the other side, I might be only kind of tempted to take it if I was the Pettersson, if I'm just feeling scared of just Vancouver as a whole.
Interesting. I would take all of these as the Malkin manager. I think the closest one is Timo Meier, given his recent deployment, which has me sad. Another thing to note is all three of these are wings and Malkin is a center. Centers are usually in lower demand, so you may not be able to make these sell high type of trades, or you may not even want to. I'm interested to see how long this run of scoring from Malkin lasts, especially since The rest of the team honestly has not played that well. The team's looked terrible this year, and it's not just their goalie. Speaking of lines and older players, Max Pacioretty got scratched from their last game in Toronto. I was on the... We had to talk about this in our little short shifts chat at some point, that I was dropping Pacioretty because of the two-game week this week. I did not really see much of a future with him on the third line in power play two. And at one point I raised the comment of, do you expect him to be better than last year? Because he scored 3.28 couple points per game last year, which is not rosterable, even in a 16-team tier one, in my opinion. I feel kind of justified in dropping him because there was a little bit of hesitance there, especially since he didn't even play the Wednesday game that people were telling me to hold him for. Do you think Pacioretty has any interest to anyone at this point?
I was kind of a thought of like him as like a stream, depending on the situation, that like, because he does have that skill. He sometimes, like, I think he even appeared on like power play one for like a very short time. So like he had a little bit of interest, but now with this red flag of being scratched, and the worst part of it is that the coach, it's like, yeah, there's no problem with this game, but we just have a lot of players and I just kind of want to rotate them out. So with that just being said, at any game you have him on your roster, you do not know for sure he's going to play. And the second that that appears, no matter how good the player is, the second that there's a risk of scratch, not because of skill, that just takes all my interest away from the player. And this is just a banner case of that as well.
I wonder if it's a bit of health management too. Pacioretty having back-to-back Achilles surgeries and on the older side and plays a bit of a rougher play style. They want him around for the playoffs. Like, Toronto's a team with high aspirations. They would love to have a guy like that on their middle six for a playoff run, but you got to keep him healthy to get him there. I believe you mentioned he was on power play one at one point. I believe that was when either Tavares or Nylander was out. So maybe that points to him being the next man up for power play if someone goes out longer term. I think that may pique my interest if, you know, someone in the top four forwards there was out for a couple weeks, then maybe Pacioretty's a play. Also worth noting that Toronto plays Monday next week. Only two teams do, and the schedule's kind of a disaster. So if you're looking for a streamer next week, maybe grabbing Pacioretty early for a Monday game. Again, not really that interested. Next up, we have a surprising amount of injuries and outuries for the beginning of the season. Why don't you tell us about some Colorado Avalanche?
So we got a mixed bag with them. So it's kind of weird of just this Druin one kind of came out of nowhere. And it was like, oh, he's going to be out for a few games, two games. And then it's like going to be a little bit more. Now, the last update is, and I quote, Druin is going to miss some time. So at this point, I just feel like if you have him, I don't expect him to come back this week. There's a potential that he might not even be back next week. And this is just going to be a situation where any hope of a short-term injury is kind of gone. And now it's just going to be a wait and see and hope that we get updates. Now, on the other end, a lot of people were afraid of Miles Wood, who did take a spot in the top six last game, was severely injured, but it looks like he's actually fine and might play tomorrow. So if you're looking for someone to fill in on those off nights, he's going to be possibly available. And then lastly, it's not an injury, but it looks like that Kaapo Kähkönen is progressing on his immigration case and is getting sooner to actually being on the ice. And then, as we've seen with the goalies, he might actually get some games close when he comes back, but not yet set, but progressing.
Yeah, these Colorado Avalanche players aren't really guys that I'm hyped to stash in my IR. Druin, if you have him, you probably drafted him, and it's a bit disappointing. He'll be a bit longer. The quote was kind of weird, too, because Bednar was like, he'll be out for the foreseeable future. He definitely won't play Wednesday. And like, the first half of that makes it sound like he's out for months. The second half makes it sound like he could come back Friday or Sunday. I don't know what to think there. Colorado's in shambles right now anyway, so I have kind of been ignoring what's been going on with their lines. Druin coming back would be a big boost for them. Another minor injury update. Joel Eriksson Ek should return Saturday. He broke his nose and missed a game and part of a third period. Sounds like he'll just be back. Get him back in your lineup. And why don't we just do a rundown of the goalies? I'm going to run down all of them, and you can comment on whichever ones you want. Elvis Merzlikins is day-to-day, so Tarasov's starting. Darcy Kemper's day-to-day, so David Rittich has started two in a row. Alex Nedeljkovic is on a conditioning stint in Wilkes-Barre, which, when he comes back, the door has kind of been left open by Tristan Jarry. Joseph Woll is progressing, but the team's taking it slow. Also, Stolarz is playing really well. And Laurent Brossois is pretty close to practicing with Chicago. Both Mrazek and Soderblom have been fine. Any commentary on any of those?
For me, I think the biggest one is what you hinted towards is Ned coming back, is, or at least in a conditioning stint, because I was really tempted of picking up Blomqvist the next time he starts to think of, oh, I might have the, you know, everyday starter. But with him kind of coming back, if he's good enough to be playing games, it's usually off the top of my head, like a week most that, like, and with the schedule next week not being that great, you might fit like Blomqvist like an extra game after you stream him. So that kind of just destroys his value. And then on top of that, on the same idea is that I am probably the biggest Mrazek booster in the world on fantasy, is that I have him because of just that idea that he's going to be starting every day. And this is just kind of be something to keep in mind, is that the second that Brossois comes back, I feel like, especially with Mrazek's injury history and his age, they're not going to want him to be starting every game. So either or, he's going to be in a 50-50 split, or if Brossois plays well, maybe he even takes, say, like a 60% of the game. So really what it is those two, I feel like, are going to be the biggest effectors of long-term, because the rest of the players, while interesting, your Wolves, your Kempers, your Elvis, all of them are kind of either shorter term or have kind of coming back to like known goalie situations. But the other two, those are the ones that have an impact of long-term prospects.
I even have a bit of concern with Chicago that it turns into a three-headed monster at some point. That could be, you know, extra ugly if Mrazek is starting less than half of the games. But I agree with you. He's got volume starts. He'll get a lot of shots against when he plays, especially now with Alec Martinez on the IR. That was one I deemed not relevant enough to mention. But yeah, goalie's gonna goalie. With that, let's go to a quick ad break, and we'll see you for some hot streaks and cold streaks on the other side.
The quest for the Stanley Cup starts now. The puck's dropping on the 24-25 season. I guess it already has now for a little bit. Get in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple, like picking a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your bet. Or, the, you know, they have future bets. I was, like, looking at those. I'm looking at the cup odds right now. Calgary Flames, one of the worst odds out there, and they've started the season incredibly. That could be a fun bet to make. I don't know. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
There's nothing like the excitement of watching a hockey game live, like the chill of the ice or the slam of the boards. It's really great to be there live. You can't beat that experience. And unfortunately, to get there, they don't just let you in. You gotta buy a ticket. But guess what? We've got our friends at Game Time to help you out with that. Game Time is a new sponsor of the show, and they have a feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. I'm taking a look now. I just looked up Maple Leafs. When's their next game? Okay. this weekend. They've got a game against the Rangers. And right away, when I search for the Leafs, I see deals available for that game. That's interesting. And I click into it. They've got a super deal if you want to get an amazing seat, like section 106 right at the ice. And you can see the view. It looks really great. You could also look at what's the cheapest available. It's looking at 119, formerly 149. So you got a lot of great deals there that you can browse through. It's really nice using Game Time where you can see all your options and find the best deal for you. One thing I like about Game Time is they have the Game Time guarantee. You'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time!
Welcome back, everyone. Before we do some hot cold streaks, like I mentioned, I actually forgot, we've got a bunch of line shuffling to deal with, so let's try to knock these out. As I alluded to earlier, Oliver Ekman-Larsson has been a bit of a hot pickup. He's playing on power play one, also getting close to 22 minutes a night, which is like a minute and a half to 2 minutes more than the last two seasons. And he's doing stuff with it. He's shooting a lot. He's playing relatively physical. This is kind of interesting to me, especially if you need defensemen. And Toronto's shown that they don't like Morgan Rielly on the power play for whatever reason. If that's OEL's spot, he could have some value this year. What do you think?
I'm 100% with you. I was maybe a little bit naive to think that I was the only person that saw this, because I noticed that he was getting like a lot of ice time before and doing a lot of shots before the power play kind of came into play. So I'm like, oh, they're only playing two games. I could sit on this and then maybe later in the week pick him up. But of course, I think it was like a 3 a.m. pickup. And it was like, yeah, I should have known he was taken. But I was interested with him before having that power play one prospects. With that, I'm 100% on board. Is that if you don't have like any like worries about like hell, even if you might lose your week by wasting an ad, I'm honestly at an interest right now of just if he's available in your league, unless you're in like the shallowest of shallow leagues, I feel like he is just a prime pickup because it's power play one of the Leafs. It's not just, you know, a random team that like you're not going to get points. You're going to get points from him.
Yeah, I kind of regret not having him in either of my leagues because I did the same thing you did where I saw it and I'm like, it's a two-game week. He's probably going to get dropped after Wednesday game if someone streams him. And then he goes out for two power play assists. So no chance that he'll be dropped again. I was hoping to grab him for next week. And all my teams are light on defense because that's exactly how I build my teams. So getting a defenseman like that, I think Oliver Ekman-Larsson is going to be what people wanted Adam Boqvist to be this year. So if he's still available in any of your leagues, definitely make him a priority add. Some line shuffling to look at. The Oilers have a new look in their top nine. Draisaitl, McDavid, Hyman, Pod Colton, RNH, Arvidsson, Skinner, Henrique, Brown. Not much to say here. Kind of hurts Jeff Skinner. I think Arvidsson's still kind of ownable with shooting and hitting and the stuff that he does, but it's the Oilers are going to line blender their stuff. Not much else to say.
So this might be a little bit of me being a little bit of pessimistic about me is that I believe it was the sixth round drafted Ryan Nugent-Hopkins thinking, okay, you know, he is a power play merchant. He gets his points there, but he's actually playing with Draisaitl. So maybe that will turn him into a everyday starter or like put him up to that level that makes him into a person that you're happy to draft early. And right now I actually benched him on a busy Thursday. How do you feel about say RNH, especially now with him not having, you know, Arvidsson, I got no complaints about him, but like Podkozin as his second winger, that's just kind of where I'm more thinking of the potential concern levels. Sadly, with a early pick like that, you're not going to be dropping him, but what would you be thinking about having your prospects of him going forward?
I think I kind of view him the same as I did at the beginning of season, which is closer to the 65 to 70 point pace RNH, not the 104 point pace RNH. 22-23 seems like a crazy anomaly for him. I mean, He had 53 power play points. His next highest season has 26. I think if you drafted him early, you're going to be a bit frustrated with him. If you draft him in the middle of your draft, like, he'll be there. He'll do things. That's what he does. Another team that shuffled their lines is the Nashville Predators. You want to tell me about the Preds top nine shuffle?
Yeah, I guess this is the old adage of be afraid about teams that add new players. The top line is still the same of your O'Reilly, Forsberg, and Nyquist. But once we get to the second line, you're going to see that a particular person is missing. It's Novak, Stamkos, and Evangelista. Yep. Evangelista has bumped Marchessault to the third line, and he's playing with Colton Sissons and Janikowski. However, Marchessault is still on the power play one of Stamkos, O'Reilly, himself, and Forsberg, but has now bumped to the third line.
Cold starts for both Stamkos and Marchessault. It sounds like they're probably just trying to get both of them going. Marchessault is at least shooting. Stamkos, a little bit less than you'd want. I don't think either of them have a point today. I think it was a power play goal by Forsberg got them on the board. I think both of them will be fine. I just kind of waiting for that to gel. I think Nashville's a good team. I think they're going to get them going. But Forsberg's still the guy the offense runs through there. So you want a piece of the Forsberg line first if you have the opportunity. Another team that shuffled their lines, the New Jersey Devils, moved Paul Cotter up to the first line and Timo Meier with Hischier and Mercer. And then apparently Stefan Nason was on power play one again. Meier's only played 14-ish minutes in two of the last three games. I almost wonder if he's nursing a bit of an injury because they came out hot with him getting 18 to 20 minutes the first three games. He didn't really look bad. I think he had a 7 or 8 shot game in there. He scored a goal, had an assist. Are you worried about Timo Meier? Because I drafted him early, and I'm trying not to panic.
Yeah, it's one of those situations. Is that, like, of course, I think it was all of us or some of us were joking about how Stefan Nason just always finds his way onto a power play one, no matter how much we think he deserves it. And he's kind of the perfect example of how we always just think, oh, the four best forwards and the best defensemen always should just be the power play. But he is that example of the person that sneaks in. So honestly, I probably the way I would look at it is that I don't know where other projections were, but I would be afraid if you depended on the Athletics projections of Meier as the basis of your drafting of where he is. Because if I remember correctly on the show with on the Mega Show, his big proponent was he's going to get power play time. So I have a feeling that even if Meier gets back onto the power play with Nason, I feel like it's going to be a yo-yo situation. He might get back on, but I don't know if it's going to be permanent unless there's an injury. That's going to be where my complaint's going to be, because, like, he's still going to be good enough. The top six is fine. That, like, he's going to get his points and even strength, but that power play is going to cap where he's going to be, and probably you needed that power play where you drafted him.
Agreed. I think he does need that power play time to hit the highs you wanted him to hit. I do think his floor is a similar season to last year, though, so I'm not too worried, but definitely a disappointment to see Nason and Cotter getting jumped up there. I did see a quote from the coach about moving Meier down to the second line was more to get the second line going. He said he wanted someone who could shoot the puck down there because Meier with Hughes is just two people who really want to shoot the puck all the time. And putting Meier with Hischier and Mercer lets him, you know, be the trigger man a bit more. So maybe the even strength change is a good thing. Power play one, there's no way to couch that. I kind of think Stefan Nason's going to fade. I think they're rewarding him for some good all-around play early. But Timo is not a lock for that power play one the way many people thought he was, including myself this year. Next up, I guess the last line combo real quick. Cutter Gauthier ended up on the fourth line for a stretch in the third period in Anaheim's game yesterday. The coach said it wasn't anything that, you know, sometimes you can learn a lot by watching. He'd had a rough couple periods and looks like he's back up today in practice. I think that's just a little bit of a warning that, like, even with an exciting young player, they're going to have their downswings. I think he's not guaranteed a spot in the top six, even if he's going to be with the team all year and has looked pretty good. just keep that in mind. You have a list of cold streak defensemen here. Why don't you just run me through them and whichever ones you want to talk about first?
Normally, the thing we do for the show is cold streaks and hot streaks. And what I do is that I use frozen tools, which is just a great resource. If you're not using Dauber's frozen tools, I highly recommend, just to have so much stats. And one thing they do is they have a hot and cold streak setting there. And one thing I noticed is that when going through the cold streaks, it's early to the year, but there are so many just defensemen that people drafted as their first or second defenseman on their team. And all of them are just going through cold streaks. So right now, this is just going to be the set that we're going through. Most of these players either have not even a point or one at best. For right now, we have Charlie McAvoy, which is interestingly enough, when you drafted him, you thought you did really well because you had 3 points in his first two games. But after that, he has absolutely nothing. However, he is getting a lot of ice time. He's still on power play one. And this is kind of be that one where it's a situation that he's kind of getting a few hits and blocks, but he's just not actually getting involved in the final goal. I feel like you probably didn't draft him too high compared to the next set of people I'm going to be talking about. But it's that situation where I'm not exactly sure how happy I'd be to have him on my team. How do you feel about Charlie McAvoy?
You know, I'm still fine with McAvoy. He's still getting the deployment, playing the big minutes. Honestly, I'd be happy to trade for him if someone in any of my leagues is upset about him. I'm also a sucker for those big peripheral defensemen who also get power play one time, so maybe that's a bit of bias on my end.
So fitting on that, the next guy is probably going to be exactly to that wheelhouse, is that while he doesn't have any points, I believe, at this point, unless something has happened today, which I don't believe has, is that Dougie Hamilton has nothing at the moment for points, but has been shooting at least 3 or 4 shots, 5 of his last 6 games. I believe he just had a one shot in the last game, but I don't think that is something new, but he is just kind of shooting all the time. He's on that power play one. And we'll see when Hughes comes back if that changes. But right now, I think I'm kind of in the same boat with you, is that at least with Hamilton, with all those shots, you're still getting the couple points. Just kind of take the ride with it and then hope that, Stefan Nason maybe can power him up enough to get some points on the side. Do you have any disagreements there, or basically the same boat with the mini-eating defenseman?
I am actually less in on Dougie Hamilton. I'm a bit worried about the return of Luke Hughes. He's also pointless through almost 7 games now because the New Jersey's played a lot to start the season, while McAvoy at least had a couple points and has only played 5. I was kind of fully out on Hamilton to start the year, just didn't want to deal with whatever that power play was. Why don't you move on to the next guy?
Now, this is one that I have a level of worry with, is that talking about power play, Rasmus Dahlin has only 1 assist in 5 completed games and is currently pointless in a 6th. Right now, he has only 1 game where he shot more than 3 times and then has a smattering of hits and blocks, but nothing consistent to be kind of putting your clock towards. And then on top of it, this has changed a little bit, but their power plays are just a mess right now. At least they took power off of it. So right now, I believe their power play, unless it changed again mid-game, is Zucker, Thompson, Cousins, Paterka, and Dallin. But for some reason, they just love Zucker and for some reason just don't want Tuck on their top power play. And we're kind of talking a little bit before the show. I just have a bad vibe of just Buffalo in general. We have that high hopes, but it just right now they're losing to Columbus, and then they're just having the situation right now. It's 5-3 to that team. It's just kind of a mess in general. And even though I believe in Dally's skill, it's just that team is a mess entirely that I'm just kind of afraid of his production in general.
I agree. The team is a mess. I'm not too worried about Dahlin long term. I think the team is going to figure their shit out, whether it takes firing a coach or not. The team is going to figure it out. he'll figure it out. I don't think there's any real threats to him on power play one. I don't think Byram or Power is really going to take over there. So I that's when I'm willing to just ride out. I'm not sure if you can really buy low on a guy like him either. I mean, he was a consensus top three or four defenseman going into the year. But, you know, kind of just got to let it go. Next up, you have Miro Heiskanen. He's got no points, right? I don't remember him having one.
Yeah, unless something has happened in this game, he has 0 points and is literally only getting like a shot a game. This is kind of be the worry with me with Heiskanen is he's that really good defenseman in real life, but like a lot of the defensemen that are play well, they don't actually have to get involved in the play. It's the spacing, it's the whatnot that kind of takes them out. That he's not really getting a lot of the banger stats. He's not shooting himself. The power play is just kind of not been producing in general. And then the last time is that like, while he is on power play one, they've been seeming to be using power play two a little bit more, probably with the, you know, if the power play's not clicking, that's when they start playing, you know, games around or trying to get power play two a little bit more time. So like, this is a situation where I, you know, obviously you can't just like straight out drop him like what I'm going to be recommending possibly for the next person we talk about. But this one, I just have really bad just worries in general of just where he is in a fantasy landscape.
I agree. And I think the Thomas Harley breathing down his neck is another concern. Harley's always been more touted as an offensive defenseman. He hasn't been fantastic this year, but he at least has a couple points and is taking shots. They did it with John Klingberg, having him run the power play. I could see them transitioning to Harley being the offensive guy and Heiskanen eating all the hard defensive minutes. On to your last guy, who I think I'm going to agree with you that he may just be a straight up drop. Who do you have here?
Sadly, I think we've all joked about this guy because of, you know, this is probably the banner of being afraid of preseason coach talk. We have Noah, the lock for power play one, Hanifin, that's sitting at a total of 1 assist. And well, at least he has now 3 shots in the season because he's managed to get 2 shots at his current game, which is sitting at the third period. So prior to that, he literally only had 1 shot. He is sitting at usually having over 20 minutes a game, but right now, no power play one time. Plays some power play two as a two defenseman unit with Pietrangelo. He's not really a hits or blocks guy. He doesn't shoot. He's not getting anything. I didn't realize, like, he looks like to be dropped in my home league, which is only a 10-team league, which makes sense. He's still rostered in, like, a couple division. And if he was dropped, I'm not sure if I would even spend a $0 bid on him, to be honest.
I agree with you. I think he's a streamer based on schedule. This is another one, you mentioned it with Meyer, where anybody who was basing off of the Athletic's projections kind of took a hit there because those projections had Hanifin as the highest rated Vegas defenseman. They actually had Pietrangelo second, I believe. It probably depends on your scoring format, how much peripherals versus points mattered. But I even ended up with the choice of Pietrangelo or Theodore and went with Pietrangelo. Not happy about that. But yeah, Hanifin especially looking like very much the secondary or tertiary option there. I'd have no problem with you dropping him, especially now that Vegas's good schedule to start the season is over. Last but not least, I had a question in the chat earlier, or in the Discord, from Trev asking about the hot starts from some Columbus forwards. I'm assuming he was referring to the first line of Sean Monahan, Yegor Chinnikov, and Kirill Marchenko. Also, Kent Johnson was on power play one, but he left today's game with injury. So let's pass on the Kent Johnson talk for now, if the injury looming over us, and just focus on this first line of Chinnikov, Marchenko, and Monahan. Are any of these guys longer-term holds? Keeping in mind that Columbus only plays 2 games next week, and one of them is on a day where all 32 teams play.
For me, I'm all about deployment. And even on bad teams, you got to have people that have to play a lot of minutes and are going to get their points. And I am a fan of all the three players because they get both power play one and line one time. They're going to have to be leaned on. And also, you bring up the whole, you know, they have two games next week. But if you're going to have a team only play two games next week, it might as well be next week because that schedule is horrendous in general. That honestly, I think there's like a couple of off nights on like later in the week that you're probably not going to get many streamer options anyway. That I'm fine like looking at these players just from a general sense of how I like them. And if someone dropped them, say like today, try to go for a matchup, like win next week or like for the end of the week, I would be strongly considering adding any of these three, even with the knowledge that I might get one game or possibly zero because of the potential of them all being season long holds.
I'm kind of taking the same strategy as you into next week, kind of hunting around for some season long holds and not worrying too much about streaming. Like you said, the schedule's really bad on the off days. So kind of chalking it up as a your stars are going to carry you type of thing. With respect to these three guys, I like Chinnikov the best. He's shooting 4 to 5 times a game right now. Seems like he's got the best scoring upside. Monahan's also been pretty good. I don't mind Monahan. I'm actually less convinced on Marchenko, though. He isn't hitting like he did last year. He's averaging less than 2 shots per game. He's kind of been touch and go on power play one. They had, I think, Fantilli and Kent Johnson up there for a bit. So I think he's like the third wheel in that first line. So Monahan and Chinnikov, yeah, I think you probably want to grab and consider as potential long-term guys. Marchenko less so. With that, I think that is the end of our show. It's been a good one, Shams. I've got to run off to the Kraken game. Hopefully they can win today. I'm excited to see Matvei Michkov in person. But let's cue that outro music. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron, where you can play in the Keeping Carlson Ultimate Patron Fantasy League, a.k.a. the Cupful, and interact with Brian, Elon, the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our Discord server. Please check out www.gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to slog through the rest of the list, including team by team and searchable tweets by player name. Visit that site and other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, ShiftChart.com, Icy Data, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart, keep your shifts short.